In a world that's perfect, lies a perfect little town where one team stands alone. But now, something's stirring that will change this place forever.
Perfectville.
Welcome to Perfectville, your first place podcast for your second place Miami Dolphins, now part of the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network. I am Sam Marcoux. He is the two-time, yes, two-time Hall of Famer, Mr. Christopher Cullen. Chris, how the hell are you, my friend?
Oh, I'm great, Sam, because not only am I a two-time Hall of Famer, but for the first time in 6 years, I can say I'm a champion coach. My son's football team, fourth and fifth grade, Sun Valley Spartans, won the championship game on Saturday. We lost last year. I posted on Reddit a picture of me and my son with the trophy. It was reached with very high praise. I'm very excited to share it with everybody. It was a phenomenal weekend, followed up by a very ugly victory against the Jets, but hey, we won, so I can't complain, man. I'm in a great mood. My son is a champion football player. He earned it. He worked his ass off, and it is exciting to be a part of it for those kids.
That's a fantastic weekend for you all the way around, because number one, your son and you went sharing that championship moment. Great father-son bonding. Number two, your son's name is what again?
Zach Thomas Cullen. So named him after a great, great football player, and to see him win the title was great.
So finally, Zach Thomas has won the championship of football. So you guys are all welcome here from Christopher Cullen here in Perfectville. So your team wins, Zach Thomas wins, the Miami Dolphins beat the Jets and sweep them for 2018. Ooh. And on top of all of that, the 1972 team gets to pop them bottles because the Los Angeles Rams lose to the New Orleans Saints, therefore making, once again, only one town or one resident of Perfectville other than you and I, and that would be, of course, the 1972 Miami Dolphins. So congrats to Don Shula, Mercury Morris, Larry Zonka, Paul Warfield. I don't know if Paul, Paul was on that team. And then everyone else that was a part of that 1972 historic team, the reason why we named our show what it is. Chris, great weekend for the Miami Dolphins all the way around. However, you are right. The Miami Dolphins are 5-4. They sweep the hated New York Jets, yet it is a very odd feeling right now, sitting at 5-4, number 7 seed for the AFC East player for the AFC playoffs. Why is that?
Well, I guess the best way I can explain it is if you ever played Jenga and like the whole bottom, the foundation, there's like one thing holding everything together, and you know eventually you're going to have to hit that piece and the whole fucking thing's going to come tumbling down. I feel like that's our team right now, like our franchise right now. We're 5-4. That victory was just ugly. It was just ugly. No offensive touchdowns at all from either team. Home game, we're wearing dark jerseys for some reason. Like everything was just weird. We need a defensive touchdown after such horrible defensive performances. Rashad Jones benches himself. I mean, like, it was just weird. Even though we won it, Sam, I don't know how to explain it, but like, we won. You should be happy. You're 5-4. Like you said, we're a game out from the wild card if the playoffs started today. But I just, I know you feel it too. The fans too. There's just a somber gray sky oncoming. And we know it's on its way. There's just no way this season ends like we want it to, like the playoffs, because it just is, something's coming, something's happening, something's going to catch up to us. And I don't know when, but it's soon.
It feels like we got undercharged for something and we're the only people that know and we didn't say anything. I feel guilty after that win for some reason, because they didn't play well enough on offense, or, well, I guess on defense they did, but it's kind of grading on a curve because the Jets' offense is just putrid.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, we won, but you kind of feel like, we probably should have lost, but somebody forgot to check the receipt here. But, oh, well, you know what? We should have won that Bengals game and we lost that game, so maybe these things balance out at the end. Nonetheless, we are 5-4. We do have a solid grasp on second place of the AFC East. And speaking of solid grasp, I need to give out a solid shout out to one of our citizens of Perfectville here, Chris. Before we get to the coin toss and into the heart and the soul of the show, I do want to point out that we do have yet another customer review on Apple Podcasts. They just keep coming in here, sir. And this comes from DE4 Yanks. 5 stars, a show for the worst of times is the headline. And it says, that's what the past 20 years have been for Finns fans, the worst of times. Sam and Chris are true fans who tell it like it is, yet they have fun with it. The only Finn podcast that can joke about our beloved Dolphins and also talk about having sex with Tom Brady's chin. A must listen for any Dolphin, at least whenever they remember to record, which seems to be a theme here, Chris.
Wow.
People bashing us for our lack of consistency in our schedule. But you know what? I don't really care. I've got a lot going on. You have a lot going on. We have a lot that's coming up here on the podcast, including some humongous guests that I'm surprised they said yes to be on this stupid show, but they are. So, yes, every now and then we miss a week or we miss a day or we get delayed. But you know what? We have the best freaking podcast that's out there about the Miami Dolphins. So you can enjoy it at your leisure, and you can just, you know what? You can even just listen to it whenever you want. I mean, if you like it so much, just go replay one of the old episodes at just go watch. Just go listen to one of the old shows at welcometoperfectville.com. Okay. Good Lord.
Well, I am last week, Sam, it was Halloween. Also in the middle of the week. So random. I hate that holiday being in the middle of the week. And, like I mentioned to start the show, we had 3 days of practice preparing for a championship game. You're on the West Coast. It just, things didn't work out. But here we are, we're back. Reading a review. I love that he said that, though. But here's the thing. Like, you ever, like, take out old pants that you just found in your closet, you haven't worn in a while, and then check the pocket, and it's a random $10 bill or something? That's when you get a notification that a new Perfectville podcast is
there
posted. It's just a surprise. Surprise to be sure, but a welcome one.
Yeah, and you know what? Ironically, that you used a pants descriptor to describe the show, considering for the first year and a half we did the show without wearing pants, on either side of the United States here. But another thing about that Jets game here, Chris, that I want to point out is that we didn't have our predictions up because we didn't do a podcast for the Jets game, which really is kind of a shame on us. Even with all those other excuses, it was Jets week. We probably should have put something out. But I don't think either one of us was going to predict the Dolphins to lose to the Jets in Miami. So that brings us to, once again, I think my record, I'm only down one game so far this year. And something else to point out that I pointed out a couple of weeks ago on this very show, I did not watch this game at home. So this year, when I do not watch the games for the Miami Dolphins at my lovely, lovely abode, the Miami Dolphins are undefeated. They're 5-0. When I watch the games here at my house, 0-4. So I guess I got somebody needs to invite me over this Sunday when the Packers game that we'll talk about here in just a little bit. But before we talk about that, we do have to start the show officially here, Chris, and we got to do the coin toss. So do you have your topic ready?
I do, sir.
So do I. I have the coin here. I'm looking at it, and the year is 2018, which actually is this year, Chris, where the team is now 5-4, as we've talked about. A lot of stuff going on, lots of stuff, including Rashad Jones quitting on the team. That happened actually this past week during a win. Such a bizarre season. I can't wait for the Finzies at the end of this year to just recap all the just weirdness. And just when you think it can't get any weirder, the Miami Dolphins get fined. The Miami Dolphins fans are screaming about the fact that they were told to sit down in their seats. There's just all kinds of things going on.
It never ends.
It never ends, even in the deep end. And that's actually my topic for this episode of Perfectville. Shall I win? I will be talking about the fans and their gripe with the deep end, Section 127, and all the Super Doll fans getting phone calls from their ticket representatives about the miscarriage of justice they received while rooting their team on, and Jet fans getting what they asked for during a Miami Dolphins home game, and if or if not, this is a big deal. That is my topic, the actual Dolphins, the citizens of Perfectville. Chris, what is your topic?
My topic is a goodbye to number 17, Ryan Tannehill.
Oh, my goodness. This is going to be the show that causes us to get yelled at. So we're going to call it in the air like we normally do. Heads is one side, tails is the other. Chris, call it in the air. I am flipping now.
Heads.
It's actually tails. Look at you switching it up. But that
I'm
is okay.
To George Costanza and do everything different that I normally don't do on the show, but here we are.
You know what? I'm going to defer to the second half of the show for my topic because you've got me intrigued. We have a goodbye letter or a goodbye song or some sort of farewell to our beloved quarterback, Mr. Ryan Tannehill. So the floor is yours, sir.
Well, it all started this evening when I went out to the garage to help my wife pick up a couple of things, and I looked at the garage also being my man cave, my Dolphin man cave, and I looked up at the almost shrine-esque jersey I have hanging perfectly center in the main wall behind the bar, of a signed Ryan Tannehill jersey. Next to it, a Ryan Tannehill cover, Sports Illustrated, where they did regional covers, and he was on the one, and I had someone in my family in South Florida get it for me. And I looked at it, and I looked at Charlotte, my wife, and I said, we might need to be taking these down next year. And she's like, what do you mean? I'm like, well, I mean, at least rearranging and moving them. I'm not going to, you know, put a shrine up to the Jacksonville Jaguars quarterback, so to speak. Because I don't think Ryan Tannehill is going to be on our team next year. Mm. And I also think he's played his last game as a Miami Dolphin in the Cincinnati Bengals game.
You think that's his last game as a Miami Dolphin? That is your prediction right here, right now?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. Combined with someone like Chris Kaufman, who CK Parrahead has come out and he's over and over said that it's more than just a capsule injury. It's a tear in his labrum. Which could cause surgery either now or later in the season. We know how that works out when he tries to just wait till the end of the season to have surgery or not have it at all. Mm. But I read right before our show, maybe 10 minutes or so, Antoine Stanley did a Ask Me Anything on the Miami Dolphins subreddit. He is for the USA Today, formerly of the Palm Beach Post, covers the Miami Dolphins, has since 2013. And someone asked him about Ryan Tannehill, and he said he told him in a press conference that even if he did play this year, he'd have pain, and he would never get around that. It would be painful to throw the ball, and he doesn't think Adam Gase, or maybe he was just, you know, projecting, I don't know, or paraphrasing, but a 60% Ryan Tannehill is not better than 100% Brock Osweiler. And with that being said, and the contract that he's due to get next year and the ways we can still get out of it with a very minimal cap hit, Sam, for Iron Man, someone that we joked about that named his son Steel, because mm-hmm. even with a horrible offensive line, he pissed blood but came back week after week. After that knee injury 2 years ago, where Campbell came flying in and for the Cardinals at the time, now with the Jaguars, and ended his season, and he missed the entire rest of the 2017 season and came back. Now it's a shoulder injury with the contract, with now all of a sudden injury history. I don't think Ryan Tannehill plays another snap for the Miami Dolphins. And here we are again looking for a quarterback. Again.
This is probably accurate. I mean, you look at the history, like you talked about, yep. Chris Kaufman broke it, and the folks over at Five Reasons Podcast Network, they had the story before everyone else. They were talking about the shoulder injury weeks upon weeks before anyone else, well, at least the week leading up to the Chicago Bears game. And matter of fact, the Miami Dolphins and Adam Gase personally were fined this week for not reporting the injuries correctly. Right. So they obviously had some sort of source. I don't know who it is. I'm not going to suspect to know who it is, but they had an inside source. They broke that story, and it looks like this injury, I'm having a hard time here tonight, injury is pretty significant. I mean, obviously it is. He's missed four or five games. He's ruled out for the Packers game. We don't know if we're going to see him again this season, and I tend to agree with you. If we don't see him again this season, chances of him coming back to the Miami Dolphins under the current contract that he has are slim and none. His base salary for 2019, aged 31, is almost $19 million. Ooh. Plus part of the signing bonus, which is $2.3 million, plus a workout bonus of $25,000, which is chump change at this point. And overall, the cap hit is $26.6 million. If we cut him, the dead cap is $13.4. So even if we cut him, we're looking at a huge amount of money that we just can't spend next year. But you do get back about $13 million if you cut him outright, which they are going to need to fill other holes as well as figure out what to do at quarterback. There is absolutely no way that Ryan Tannehill is getting to see that contract next year, especially coming off of yet another season-ending possible injury, and still having the questions surrounding him at 31 years old. I mean, the time is up. This was supposed to be the year that he proved everybody one way or the other, and unfortunately, I think you're right. I think he has proven that he cannot be the quarterback for the Miami Dolphins, at least not the franchise quarterback. I mean, I feel like he's probably going to go the way of a lot of journeyman quarterbacks. He's probably going to float from team to team, be a backup, be a spot starter, maybe come in and be like Ryan Fitzpatrick, who wowed somebody one game or two games, and you know, three, 4 games in, you're kind of getting that middle of the road Ryan Tannehill again. So it's weird to say that. It's weird to say that because Ryan Tannehill is the only current player on the team whose jersey I have.
Yeah.
The other, well, I take that back. I have a Cam Wake jersey as well, but. That's kind of almost like Cam Wake has gotten to the point of Dan Marino and Jason Taylor and Zach Thomas that you're going to wear his jersey regardless of how the rest of his career ends up.
Exactly.
Ryan Tannehill has not entered that arena yet. I'm looking at one of his jerseys right now. So it's going to be weird, and it's going to be weird to have a team that has talent at a lot of key positions but might have to start completely over at quarterback. And really, that's my question to you, going back to you. You said it, Chris. If this is the end of the Ryan Tannehill era here for Miami and the Miami Dolphins, where do they go? What options do they have available to them in what is considered to be a pretty weak quarterback class for the draft?
Yeah, I was just about to say that. Antoine Staley also said that he can see us going later in the first round with maybe a quarterback, possible trade. I don't know. Teddy Bridgewater, maybe a possibility. No one's for sure, but I think with the things that are happening, which are not something that you can hindsight go back and look at and predict that Ryan Tannehill is going to hurt his shoulder of all things. So you can't really call him out too much, but it's a thing that people question when it happened, why Adam Gase wasn't bringing in legitimate competition from Ryan Tannehill, whether young or free agent or journeyman, whatever it was. It seemed he just like gave him the job, no problem, here it is. And it was a risk, and it was absolutely called out when it was happening. So it's not just a hindsight thing. People were wondering why we didn't go quarterback at all in the NFL draft last year. Not once, not Riley Ferguson, not anybody in the third, fourth, fifth round. Yes, we signed Falk later on, but it just seemed like that wasn't a priority. Gase put all his eggs in his basket, and we talked about this earlier in the season, Sam, I think before the season even started. We both agreed he was hanging his hat on 17. He was putting his coaching career together side by side with Ryan Tannehill, live or die, succeed or fail. And now maybe he has a little bit of a get out of jail free card with an injury again, where he can say, hey, let me get a guy. But man, he really put all his eggs in one basket, and here we are riding the Brock Osweiler train, hoping we can somehow turn this 5-4 season into something more spectacular.
Well, looking at this team, looking at the Miami Dolphins team as it's currently constructed, just, you know, kind of looking at everything that we know, the injuries that we've seen, and the lack of offense that we have under Brock Osweiler. You know, this Green Bay Packers game, we're going to talk about that here in just a little bit. That is at Green Bay. It's not even at, you know, the standard 1 o'clock time. It got flexed out to the late games. I'm looking at that as probably some sort of loss. Not my official prediction yet, but most likely that's where I'm leaning here later in the show. Then we have our bye week. At that point, I think we will know one way or the other if Ryan Tannehill is coming back this season or not. But looking at that, we have the Indianapolis Colts at Indianapolis. Then we are home for the Bills, home for the Patriots, away to Minnesota, home for Jacksonville, and then away for Buffalo. The Buffalo Bills are the worst team in the NFL right now. So assuming we can beat them twice, there's no reason why the Miami Dolphins can't beat them twice. That puts them at 7 wins. The Colts are not very good, but they are hosting us. I could see us squeaking out that game. That puts us at 8 wins. I don't see us beating the Patriots anytime soon. The Jaguars are not as good as they once were. That defense is still scary, but that offense is just god-awful. That could go either way. I might give the advantage to the Miami Dolphins because we're playing that game at home. That puts us at 9 wins. So now really what it boils down to, Chris, is can we beat the Minnesota Vikings in Minnesota? That's a tough one. If you do that, you're looking at 10 wins. You're probably in the playoffs. If you can't do that, then you're at 9-7, according to my math right here, and you're probably on the outside looking in. Either way, whether you go 10-6 or 9-7, I don't think this team is strong enough to get past the Kansas City Chiefs of the world, the New England Patriots of the world, and whoever's going to come out of the AFC North. Most likely, this team is looking at a late, middle to late first-round draft pick in a very bad draft class. This couldn't happen at a worse time,
yeah.
Because if this happens last year, or if we, you know, been aggressive to go after it last year, we probably are looking at one of our franchise quarterback options on the roster right now, probably playing, and we say, look, we're going to have our growing pains. But going into next year, I don't know. I mean, Luke Falk, maybe, I guess, and that's the young guy that you have, but he was buried fourth on the roster. Is he ready to take the leap above people like Brock Osweiler and David Fales? I'm not sure. So I agree with you. I think Adam Gase has the ability to spin this and say, all right, I'm going to start over. I need more time. I am the quarterback whisperer. Ryan Tannehill got injured. That's not really my fault. I'm going to start over with something new. And he can maybe convince Stephen Ross. But it does look somewhat bleak for the Miami Dolphins at the quarterback position going forward if Ryan Tannehill is as injured as we all seem to think he is.
Well, and we can't discount either, if we're just going to talk about Adam Gase for a moment, the absolute massive amount of injuries that we have had. It feels like it was now just decades ago that we were excited how injury-free we were coming out of the preseason, and then all of a sudden, Sitton's down, Kilgore's down, we're losing our quarterback, we're losing our receivers, Kenny Stills, Albert Wilson's out for the year. Like, it just, shit is just insane now when it comes to the injuries. Tannehill, of course, being out for the majority of it. Staley, who also, I keep going back to it because I read his AMA, has asked me anything pretty recently before the show, so it's very fresh. He completely said we're a 10 or 11 win team with a fully healthy roster, and this was a pretty decent schedule we had this year. So I don't know, Adam Gase might be able to finagle his way to try to again without Tannehill and someone else, but as far as Ryan Tannehill goes, I just don't see, unless, like you said, something randomly spectacular happens during the bye week and he comes back and practices and looks good, he's done.
Yeah, that doesn't look great. You know, also looking at that schedule, one thing to keep in mind, and really where I'm going with that is this Packers game is not a game that I thought we were going to win at the beginning of the year. If they can somehow manage to win at Lambeau, that changes a whole lot. Then I think you start looking at this going, all right, how can we win this year? Because then you are looking at the math going, we could win 10 or 11 depending on how this all shakes out. But we have 1, 2, 3 more games at home, if I'm not mistaken. The Miami Dolphins, Chris, 15-5 their last 20 home games. Isn't that unbelievable?
That means we're terrible on the road. Good
we
Lord.
We've been god-awful on the road for the last 20 games as well. But 15-5, their last 20 home games. And I'm going to drop another stat with you here with the Green Bay Packers. We'll talk about that here in just a little bit. But I think you'd be surprised at the overall record the Miami Dolphins hold over the Green Bay Packers in their lifetime series. But all right, well, I mean, I guess Luke Falk is somebody to take a look at for next year. Maybe that's why, looking at four quarterbacks, we thought he was crazy, but maybe he was stashing one away and going, hey, this is a long-term prospect for us and maybe somebody who's going to be pushed to the front here next season. I mean, cheap contract, somebody that if you have to cut and eat that dead cap money for Ryan Tannehill, you take your lumps with somebody young like that. You make a play for a grizzled veteran who can maybe, you know, show them the ropes here a little bit, whether that be Brock Osweiler or somebody else, and then you go draft another rookie somewhere. I mean, maybe that's the strategy if Ryan Tannehill can't go.
Yeah, we'll see how it all unfolds, but I feel like we're just back at square one, like the Twilight Zone.
Back at square one and back at halftime here on Perfectville. Take a break, go get a beer, take a leak, and then we will come back and finish off this bad boy here in the beautiful, lovely, vivacious town of Perfectville.
We have another...
DolphinsTalk.com is your one website for all things Miami Dolphins. With the award-winning DolphinsTalk.com podcast, in-depth video breakdowns and analysis, as well as daily articles all year round, DolphinsTalk.com is the place to go for all of your Miami Dolphins needs. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at DolphinsTalk, and to visit our website, DolphinsTalk.com, each and every day.
And welcome back to the second half of Perfectville. Chris, as you know, I won the coin toss for the second show in a row, and I deferred to the second half because that Ryan Tannehill discussion was something that I really wanted to get into because, man, if you don't have a quarterback in this league, as you know, you don't really have much else going on. So we started with that. I want to get into Dolphins in general. Chris, do you consider yourself a super fan of the Miami Dolphins?
I know where you might be going with this, and I've talked a lot on this show about the quote-unquote self-proclaimed super fans, but I'm a gigantic fan of the Miami Dolphins, yes.
So you are a huge fan of the Miami Dolphins. I am a huge fan of the Miami Dolphins. I do not consider myself a super fan because I believe that term is something that is reserved for...
children?
That might be the most appropriate way to describe it. Look, I have no problem with people dressing themselves up and going to a Miami Dolphins game. I mean, I understand Gorilla Luke, Big Papa Pump, Kathleen Noah, Finn Sticky, NorCal Dolphin. All these people, they are huge, huge Miami Dolphins fans who want nothing more than to see the Miami Dolphins win. They're good people. I've hung out with a lot of them, especially here recently when I went to South Florida. But there's something about that culture, and it's not just Miami Dolphins. It's, you know, it's Raider Nation. It's the Black Hole. It's the 49er people, 49er faithful, whatever they call themselves, fucking dorks. It's something about that I'm like, can't you just put on a freaking Dolphins t-shirt and cheer like a normal human being?
It's got to be about them, too. They have to make it extra.
Do you have to have your own business card with your Dolphin handle on it, like you're on Twitter at all times? Do you have to walk into a bar the day before wearing a gorilla suit when it's 95 degrees? It smells like Bigfoot's dick inside there. You absolutely know it's a horrible, wretched smell. I mean, there's something about those super fans that I don't get it, I guess is the best way. I don't want to disparage them because I know they're going to come after me. I just don't get it. And by the way, none of those people, as far as I know, are sitting here talking about the Miami Dolphins on a podcast every single week. So they might be looking at us, Chris, and going, well, what are you guys doing with your time? So I get it. They can throw stones just like we're throwing stones at them. But here's the part that I don't understand.
Yeah, but unlike them, we're not wearing costumes. We're not even wearing pants.
That's true. We aren't. We're not supporting our team in any fashion. We're just bashing them the entire time once a week. Where I'm going with this is the Jets game that just occurred. There was some big controversy because in the deep end, which is the one end of the end zone where a lot of these super crazy fans hang out, they were standing up for the entire game. They were cheering. They were yelling. And I don't even understand why, because that was the most boring game. I'd rather go to a library and just watch the people reading. That would have been more exciting than watching that Jets-Dolphins travesty from this past weekend. But as I understand it, through Twitter and other social media accounts, a lot of Dolphins were up, rowdy, cheering, not really doing anything wrong, but just standing up. And some Jets fans who were politely sitting down complained about it. And people came over and told the Dolphins at a home game, either sit down or get out. And they pretty much all left. Whether they were thrown out or they protested and walked out is up for debate. But the bottom line is this became the topic for all these Dolphins to talk about. Now, I want to point out that the Miami Dolphins are currently being fined by the NFL. Their head coach is being fined by the NFL. Their Pro Bowl All-Pro safety quit on the team during this game. Their quarterback, who they've had for the last 6 or 7 years, that a lot of these guys defend to the ends of the earth, is out injured once again. We have more injuries than, you know, Vietnam at this point. Yet the topic of the week for these guys was the fact that they were asked to sit down in the seat that they purchased. And they each all got individual phone calls from their ticket folk over at the Miami Dolphins telling them that going forward, this will be a standing room only section so that there will no longer be controversy at all. Chris, did this even hit your radar this week? Was this anything that you even like saw, or and if you did, what was your reaction to it?
Yeah, I saw one person complaining that they were asked to sit down multiple times or something and asked to leave. I don't fucking care. I don't know. It's just like it's like, again though, like I just said, can you wear a Dolphins t-shirt and just root for your team? There's a 70-something thousand people in that stadium, but you got to get that spotlight on you. Yeah. You got to wear that costume or that weird wig and dye your beard and put on Hulk hands. Like, you got to be that guy. You got to make sure you get on the Jumbotron. There's some kind of awareness that they don't have. I don't feel, and I've talked about this to my wife before too. Like, we went on vacation and like, she was a part of some group on Facebook about the like theme park we went to. And anytime she saw a wait time or something, like she was posting on it and she would like look at my stepdaughter and be like, I've got 60 likes. It's they're totally enjoying this. And I'm like, what the fuck are you getting out of this? Like, what, like, who cares that like 18 people liked your post about the mummy wait time, like at Universal Studios? Like, I don't get it. There's just people that just have to have that vindication that they're known, or as Dan Levitard called it when I entered on a show, cheap celebrity personality, where I remember going to the Carolina Panthers game when you were here, Sam, Thursday Night Football, when Ricky Williams had that hell of a game.
Yeah.
And, like, people were going up to those guys. He has, like, the helmets, the mini helmets wrapped around his neck, and he, like, chews on them and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's cool that you're able to go to every game and everything, but I don't know. It feels like it's that guy at wrestling that wears a green smiley face shirt and sits camera facing. Like, just fucking enjoy the show. Enjoy the game. Why do you have to make it about yourself or be a guy that's recognized, like Brock Lesnar guy or Frank the Clown in wrestling world? Like, I just, those type of fake limited personalities are very odd to me. It's very odd.
And the thing about it is, like you talked about, a lot of this is for their own attention, and they do get attention from, you know, the press. People take their photos. They end up on TV, on those bumper commercials, in and out. They do end up on the big screen. But I can tell you what, man, I wore a Miami Dolphins tank top and a Miami Dolphins hat and just some regular old gray shorts and some sunglasses, and I was on the Big Tron 3 fucking times during the Bears game. So you don't have to wear all that stuff to get your big old ugly face up on the freaking screen. I put up there 3 times, and I looked like just a regular person walking down the street in South Florida. I mean, I get it. Maybe it's part of a, you know, it's almost like a big costume party. It's part of the tailgate. I kind of sort of understand that. But I got to know some of these people, Chris, and they put in a lot of effort into what they're going to wear, what matches with what for what game. It is startling how much time is put into these super fan costumes and cosplay. That's essentially what it is. It's a freaking cosplay. And now they're mad that they were told to sit down. You know, good. Look, I'm not going to shed any tears for a Jets fan not being able to see the game. I say build that wall of human flesh in front of them and don't let them watch it. By the way, they made you a favor. You only got 6 points that game, Jet fan. But what do you make of them having enough power? There's something to be said about their clout, because now that whole section is going to be standing room only, mainly because of their complaints online and the bad press that the Miami Dolphins are getting. I mean, is that a good thing that the Miami Dolphins fans have that much power that that they can make a change like that? Or is it a good thing that the Dolphins listen to their hardcore fans? Or is this just much ado about nothing?
Well, I think it's a good thing the Dolphins, as a franchise, listen to their fans, because as I shit on them, believe me, hear me, and I hope you listen to this whole podcast, I do respect you. You're there at every game. You travel.
Oh, yeah.
You're a big fan. I get that. That's awesome. Like, that is awesome. You fully support the team. Like, that's so cool. Like, I get it. For that. But I also just, you know, question like just the other things, like the little things, like you have to be the center of attention or wear a costume to enjoy it. And like you said, it's 100 degrees. Calm down, Gorilla.
Yeah.
Gary. Like, it's got to be really hot in there. And there's no way you're enjoying yourself. There's just no way.
I saw them. I saw them after the game, by the way, after that Bears game, how hot it was, plus it went into overtime. Those guys are drained. It's like they ran a marathon. They took the hood off, and they are just drenched in sweat. I mean, I have respect for them to keep it on the entire game, but I'm looking at this going, God, is it worth it? Is it worth a bunch of strangers coming up and putting their arms around you to take a picture?
Exactly.
I guess it is.
And to them, I guess it does vindicate something, but like they have to feel so empty when they're not noticed without the costume on.
Well, the best, right? Yeah, I mean, who was the comic? I think it was Doug Stanhope who said he's famous within 150 yards of a comedy club once he gets off stage. Like, after that, nobody cares. Nobody knows who he is. He just looks like some other person. These people wearing these costumes and this makeup and these capes and whatever it is they're wearing, tassels, 30 yards away from a Dolphins game, they look like a maniac. You know what I mean? Yeah. They just look like a crazy person walking down the street. So I don't know. I just think it's kind of funny. I hope they don't flame our ass too badly here for this. I know they're going to get mad. They're going to band together and stand in front of us, not let us watch the game here this weekend. But I just kind of saw this whole thing, and it was amusing to me. Like, we got all this controversy running around this team. We have injuries. We got people quitting on the team. We've got, you know, Devontae Parker trying but failing. We've got Adam Gase doing whatever it is he's doing. We've got Ryan Tannehill, whose arms are just falling off every second of every day. And here we are, talking about the fans getting yelled at because they stood up throughout this entire thing. It blew my mind that this was priority number one for the Dolphins after everything else. But maybe it's a nice distraction from the team.
Well, and I look at it like this, Sam. I saw a discussion on Reddit earlier about these women on Venmo and Tumblr and all these apps and stuff and Tinder asking for money, like, out of the blue for nothing. And people are like, this is disgusting. Like, who just asks for money just because they can? And then somebody said, well, hold on a second. Like, get mad at the guys that are paying them, because obviously it's working sometimes.
Yeah.
There's people somewhere. So the people that, like their pictures and ask them for photos and, like, subscribe to their Twitter feeds and their Facebook pages, they're the reason these people have a voice, because, like, there's another weird side fan that, like, thinks these people are really fucking cool because they wear a wig that Skeet had. Remember when we went to the Jets game, he had that same wig as that guy with the Hulk hands. Like, that's not, like, special or anything he made. Like, it's a wig that stands up, and he dyes his goatee and wears orange Hulk hands, like, from the Marvel comics, the Hulk. But he can wear those to, like you said, only to Dolphins activities, nowhere else. If he goes to Publix in Boca Raton, like, he's getting the cops called on him.
They're calling the cops. They're calling the cops on a maniac homeless person.
But he's at a Dolphins game. There's going to be a line of, like, 80 people. They're like, I've seen you on the Titantron. Can I have a picture? Dave? And he could be, like, a convicted felon. Like, he might not be. He might be a great banker or investment banker. I have no idea. But, like, you have no idea who this person is. And it's because he puts on, like, Toys R Us gloves and dyes his goatee. He's semi-horribly famous. Like, it's just so weird to me, Sam. There's already a level, I think we've talked about this before, about putting on another man's jersey.
Yeah.
I think Ryan Tannehill's younger than me, or, like, we're very close in age. So I think it's very odd to even put on his jersey and wear that. Like, I just, that's weird. I don't have a problem with Dan Marino, Jason Taylor, Zach Thomas. I was a kid growing up watching them, so there's a whole dynamic there. But then once you get into the part where you're getting old enough now to where the guys that you watch on TV are younger than
that's
you.
A good point. That's a great point.
Just wearing their jersey and their name and their number is odd.
But to actually wear
a costume and cosplay, that's just weird, man. Just root for the team. Just watch football.
You convinced me I'm burning that Tannehill jersey, not because I don't like the guy, but because I am older by him by 5 years, and I'm like, shit, he's right. Chris is absolutely right.
This is weird. God. I was in kindergarten when he was born, and now I have a jersey on.
This is not good. But yeah, and I'm not bullshitting you. I literally had one of these super fans was looking at Aronde Bagston, because I had him, right, when I was in Miami, and he asked me for a custom one, and I'm like, no, I'm not going to do a custom one. And he goes, bro, if you give me a custom one, I'll tweet it out to all my followers. And I got a lot of followers. And I'm like, they're the same people that listen to my stupid show. We're all the same people. I don't need your followers. No, I'm not giving you a custom one. Just take this one or go fuck off with your face paint.
Is that the new barter system in the year we live in now? Like, you can barter things based on your followership? Like, it's crazy.
I guess. We're heading down that path. But that's a podcast for another day. I think I'm done talking. And you know what? Listen to me. Dolphins, citizens of Perfectville, crazy people. This is not just you, okay? Every fan base has this.
Yes.
Every single fan base, whether you're the
Fireman
Chiefs.
Fireman Ed started this bullshit.
Yeah, I mean, this is, and who, by the way, was a Miami Dolphin to start. So this is really our fault to begin with. But everyone, I don't care if it's baseball, basketball, football, we all have crazy people, okay? That's why they are called, you know, fanatics, right? But still, settle down. We don't need that stuff, okay? Just be a regular human being. Just be normal, okay? Just be normal and don't be weird person that I don't know, man. I'm going down a weird rabbit hole. I don't think people are going to like this rant. But anyway, why don't we get off of this and just go to three and out here. All right, very special three and out on this episode, Chris. Usually we talk about all things NFL. This one, we're going to actually do a game preview between the Green Bay Packers and the Miami Dolphins. As you know, the Miami Dolphins 5-4, heading to Green Bay, heading to Lambeau Field, Titletown versus Perfectville, as somebody pointed out on Twitter and all the social medias. Chris, I'm going to start with this. Did you know that the Miami Dolphins and the Green Bay Packers, throughout their illustrious history, have only met in the regular season 14 times head-to-head?
Holy shit, they're both very old franchises. That's surprising to me.
Yeah, and did you know that the Miami Dolphins, in those 14 matchups, have won 10 of them?
Holy shit.
They have won 10 of the 14. They are 10-4 against the Green Bay Packers. Now, the problem with that is, you go, wow, history's on our side. Recent history, though, the last four times, we're 1-3. So recent history is that Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers like to just bully us around everywhere. But I did not know that A, we've only met 14 times between the two franchises, and B, the Miami Dolphins are 10-4 against the Green Bay Packers, which is blew my mind, quite frankly.
I think that's why, Sam, anytime anybody says, hey, Chris, gun to your head, do you have a second favorite football team? And I'm like, no, I don't like another football team. But if like the Dolphins fell off the face of the earth and I had to just like start rooting for another team, Green Bay Packers are always the team I come up with. I think they were my hateful 28, my least hated team. Like, we'd never play them. Steve Sykes, big listener of the show, Dr. AstroZoom, went to a game in Lambeau and said the fans were just the fucking nicest people. They offered them food and beer, and they're like, hey, we like the Dolphins, a good team. Like, you guys, we really always root for you. We hate the Patriots. Like, just like hospitality out the years. I've not a bad thing to say about Green Bay. Like, Aaron Rodgers is fucking awesome. His commercials are even funny, like in State Farm. I did not expect to have a evil rivalry today, but yet here we are. Like, this, all of that, it's just good stuff. Like, Aaron Rodgers does a championship belt celebration. I like the Packers, so that's not surprising, because I don't have a hateful bone in my body for the Green Bay Packers, and that must be why, because we've had great success against them, yeah, and we hardly play them.
The first time we ever lost was in 1997 to the Green Bay Packers. Also interesting, in 2006, when we lost to the Packers, we lost 34-24, and that was in 2006. We beat the Packers back in 1985, 34-24. So you're right. I mean, we play them about every 3 to 4, maybe 5 years on average, and you know, you do the math, you go, hey, that checks out. You know, with how long the Dolphins have been around? About 14 times. So that is first down, my friend. Some odd stats about the Packers and Dolphins. Second down is yours.
Second down, Sam. And here's where we're going to mix in both the three and out and our game predictions. We're losing this game Sunday, Sam. And it's not because of Aaron Rodgers' magic or, Clay Matthews sacking Brock Osweiler multiple times. No, it's because the Green Bay Packers offensive coordinator is none other than Joe Pickup Trash Off the Field motherfucking Philbin.
Oh my God.
And he is getting his revenge game. I can see a Gatorade tub bath for this motherfucker as he randomly brings Ronnie Brown back, or maybe gets Derek Carr to come play for him and just prove how much better he is than Ryan Tannehill. Joe Philbin's getting his revenge, and it's happening on Sunday at 4:25 Eastern, my friend.
So since you are saying that, what is the what is your prediction? Yeah,
I actually honestly think this game is going to be close for a little bit, maybe even until halftime, where we're like, okay, 17-14 Green Bay or something, or we're like, all right, a couple things happen, go our way, a few drops, we should be winning 21-20, you know, the same old bullshit on a Sunday. But then they're going to pull away, and it's just going to be one of those, like, why are we here type deals. I see us losing this game 31-17.
31-17. I'm going to go 34-24. Packers beat the Miami Dolphins, just so we can have the rubber match of 34 versus 24. I see the Packers beating the Miami Dolphins. I see us falling 5-5, and I see all the super fans running around yelling about something else next season or next week.
They threw cheese at me.
Yeah, they threw cheese at my head. Those stupid Packers super fans. I'm going to walk away with my teal cape now. All right, let's go
to Aquanachio, motherfucker.
Let's go to third down. Yes, and it's coral instead of orange. My apologies. Third down. All right, third down here, Chris. When you think of the Packers and you think of the Dolphins, and specifically think about quarterbacks, who is the first quarterback that comes to mind in your head?
Out of both teams?
Yeah, just throw some names out there that they've
Bart
had some.
Bart Starr, Dan Marino, Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers, Matt Flynn.
Matt Flynn, yes, there you go. So that's, you kind of know where I'm going with this.
Yeah.
So you got Bart Starr, you have Brett Favre, you have Aaron Rodgers, you have former and future Hall of Famers. You have Dan Marino and Bob Greasy, a couple of Hall of Famers in their own right. But the one that I want to point out is a guy that actually has a Super Bowl ring and was a quarterback for both of these franchises on multiple occasions. And, of course, I'm talking about the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, Doug Peterson. Doug Peterson started his career in the NFL with the Miami Dolphins in 1991. He then went to the New York / New Jersey Knights, which is not even in the NFL. He came back to the Miami Dolphins from 1992 through 1994. He then went to the Carolina Panthers, didn't work out there, went to the Rhein Fire of the EuroLeague, came back to the Miami Dolphins in 1995, then left and went to the Green Bay Packers from 95 to 98, then had a cup of coffee with the Philadelphia Eagles, ironically enough, then to the Cleveland Browns, back to the Green Bay Packers from 2001 to 2004. This man has spent more time with the Packers and the Dolphins than any and all super fans of both franchises, and somehow, some way, is now the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, the team that beat the New England Patriots in the Super Bowl, our greatest rival. Who knew that Doug Peterson is the quarterback that ties all of these two historical franchises together, and not Brett Favre, not Bart Starr, not Aaron Rodgers, not Dan Marino, and not Bob Greasy. Not the five Hall of Famers, but Doug fucking Peterson is the quarterback to look at and talk about when you talk about the Packers versus the Miami Dolphins.
Dude, did he, like, have nude pictures of Don Shula? Why do you keep bringing him back? Like, that's unbelievable.
The best part about all of this is that he goes to the New York, New Jersey Knights, which I think was the Arena League. He goes to the Rhein Fire, which is a German football team from back when we had NFL Europe. And he can't, he's not even good enough there that he comes back to the Miami Dolphins after both of those stints, and then eventually goes to the Packers twice. Like, this guy, like you said, he's either got nude photos or he's just, I don't know, maybe he's got property in both places. Like, hey, just put me on the roster and I'll just do a landlord to all these different things that are going on here. I've got a condo in Green Bay and I've got an apartment complex in Fort Lauderdale. I need to be there stat.
Could you imagine going back in time and sitting in a crowd with a bunch of Krauts in Germany, watching the Rhein Fire and being like, hey, so that the quarterback out there, he's going to be the head coach of a Super Bowl winning Philadelphia Eagles team for their first ever Super Bowl. And they'd be like, I'm sorry, like, how are you even coming up with this prediction? And more proof that it's funny that Adam Gase is the QB whisperer and Dave Wannstedt's this defensive guru and Jimmy Johnson's going to save the franchise and Joe Philbin's the offensive coordinator for same with Cam Cameron with his dynamic offenses and they're going to be the difference. Nope, it's Doug Peterson, the quarterback from the Rhein Fire in the Germany European League. That's the kind of coach you need to win a championship in today's NFL. Wow. What a fucking callback.
And by the way, as a coach, he was the Philadelphia Eagles offensive quality control coordinator from 2009 to 2010. He was then the Philadelphia Eagles quarterbacks coach from 2011 to 2012, left to go to the Kansas City Chiefs, then came back to the Philadelphia Eagles in 2016. So this is a pattern for Doug Peterson. He leaves and comes back. Pattern Peterson, I'm going to call him. And just so we all know, his career NFL statistics, 286 for 522, good for 54.7% completion percentage, 12 touchdowns, 19 interceptions, 2,762 passing yards for his career. I'm pretty sure Aaron Rodgers did that last week. And then his passer rating was 62.3. So somehow this guy's been employed in the NFL or in football.
And he's only
since,
thrown 262 yards more than we have
in
the NFL.
He's been employed in the NFL or in pro football since 1991. He's got a Super Bowl ring as a player, even though he clearly didn't play, and as a head coach, yet somehow has worse stats than myself, who's never played in the NFL at all. It's quite phenomenal.
Dolphins fans think Ryan Tannehill's the problem. Like, give me a break.
By the way, who was the quarterback that started the game when Don Shula broke the all-time wins record?
I'm gonna say Doug Peterson.
Doug.
God Peterson. Damn it! This fucking guy. It was from the Rhine Fire to starting Don Shula's record performance. Like, that's amazing.
Yeah, he came back because actually that. God damn, I forgot that Dan Marino ruptured his Achilles. Scott Mitchell came in, so they had to sign Doug Peterson as the backup. Scott Mitchell gets hurt, makes his NFL debut in 1993, despite already being in the league for a couple of years. In a Week 8 game against the Indianapolis Colts, he helped head coach Don Shula win his NFL record 325th victory when Mitchell suffered a separated shoulder in Week 11 against the Philadelphia Eagles.
Wow.
It's all coming back. Everything about
Wait, so did Shula break the record against the Colts, the team he used to coach before the Dolphins?
Yeah, there's some symmetry as well there, too. Yeah, he absolutely did. So it's weird how life works out sometimes, but apparently the answer to all of life's problems is Doug Peterson. Do you think the reps that called all the Super Doll fans, is this like when they called and said, hey, we heard there was a problem? They're like, yeah, we're pissed. What are you going to do about it? And they just whispered, Peterson. And then they all just calmed down.
It's Doug. Doug Peterson. He's the answer to everything.
That's what I whispered in Cody Parker's ear right before he kicked that bad field goal against us when he was on the Bears. I just yelled, Peterson. And then he looked at me and just shanked it. He knew what it meant.
I love how Doug Peterson just like looks too, like it's a baggy hoodie with like the kind of salt and pepper hair, kind of a double chin guy. Like he's always got a new tech startup that he wants to tell you about, or like this Ameritrade marijuana stocks that he's put money into, and he's just like super eccentric and about it and excited. But you're just like, all right, man, like calm down. Like you're really overbearing. Like that's like what he looks like. He looks like that kind of guy.
He looks like he plays bass guitar for an old-time classic rock fog hat cover band on a Saturday night.
He only play Alabama and the Grateful Dead.
Yeah. He looks like he's going to sell his term life insurance. You know what I mean? But somehow this guy is the face of the NFL. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. So when you're watching the Miami Dolphins get their asses beat by the Green Bay Packers and you see a starting quarterback in Aaron Rodgers and what a starting quarterback is supposed to look like, and you see a third string backup quarterback in Brock Osweiler, I just want you to remember Peterson.
That's going to be a new spirit finger like thing. You throw your fingers up and just chant Peterson. If we can make that a thing, that'd be great.
Yeah, that's our new shirt. It's just going to be a guy whispering Peterson, and then the O is going to be Doug Peterson's face in Peterson. So anyway, with that being said, Chris, anything else you want to talk about before we get out of here?
Nope.
Okay, and there you go. Another exciting episode of Perfectville from Chris and Sam. Goodbye from Perfectville, part of the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network.
Later.